The pendulum has made a swing regarding the criminal justice system in America. Where there was once a consensus that aggressive sentencing and long incarceration was the solution to America's crime problems, today there is bipartisan initiative to reduce the prison population, modify sentencing and parole, and enact broad criminal justice reform. Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick says it's suddenly strike while the iron is hot time on Capitol Hill. But even he is surprised by the lawmakers choosing to strike together.
There are more than 2.2 million people incarcerated in America. That's one out of every 110 adults in jail or prison. Many millions more are on probation or parole, and still millions more have criminal records. You've heard a lot about the size of the problem, but what might shock you is that dysfunctional, partisan, ugly Washington has been working for more than a year to do something about it. If you need proof, here's President Barack Obama.
The United States is home to 5% of the world's population, but 25% of the world's prisoners. Think about that.
And House Speaker John Boehner.
It's expensive to house prisoners sometimes, frankly. Some of these people are in there under what I'll call flimsy reasons.
Kentucky Republican Senator Rand Paul.
I think that America has to take a different attitude. I'd like to see more rehabilitation and less incarceration.
Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz.
We are all unified in saying common sense reforms need to be enacted to our criminal justice system.
And Vermont Independent Senator Bernie Sanders.
So we need real reforms in criminal justice. Our goal should not be to put more and more people in jail. It should be figuring out ways that we keep people out of jail.
How is it that they all agree on the need for reform? Why now? We spoke yesterday to several former inmates about the difficulty of rebuilding their lives when a criminal record follows them. Really, that was just one small aspect of a long list of things that could be about to get reformed. What's expected to be a broad reform effort, prison conditions, sentencing policy, the rights of released felons, nonviolent drug crimes, and bail policy. But what's fascinating is that in such a hyper-partisan, dysfunctional environment, politicians have been able to take something as divisive and controversial as crime, punishment, and criminal justice and reach consensus on the need for change. Here's how.
That is a huge moment. We've not been at a moment like this when we've had so many divergent groups and interests that have agreed on such an overarching issue.
That's Nicole Austin Hillary. She's director and counsel of the Washington, D.C. office of the Brennan Center for Justice.
We are going to get something done. You have members of Congress from both sides of the aisle. You have advocates, advocates who represent progressives, who represent conservatives, who represent libertarians. You have religious leaders. You have law enforcement leaders. All of these varying interest groups are all around the table talking about what kinds of reform can be done.
Hillary says that one big factor here is that violent crime rates are low, really low, about half of what they were in 1994. And that gives politicians the space and flexibility to act. Crime rates are low. People are less afraid of crime. They're not demanding that elected officials get tough on crime either. And here's another factor, cost. The overall cost of incarceration is staggering. Cory Booker is a liberal Democratic senator from New Jersey who's been teaming up with conservatives on several aspects of reform. He says that crime rates and cost paint a bigger picture.
We have enough data now to see that there's really no correlation between the numbers of people we're putting into prisons and the crime rate. We also know that there's many red states in America, like Georgia, who are lowering their prison population and lowering their crime rate. In fact, multiple states are now showing that you could achieve both. And so the data is clear right now. It's not as simple as saying that we have overall lower crime rates than we had before, but we have a lot of data that shows that there is a much smarter way to go about it.
And there's another important factor, the war on drugs, or maybe it's better to say the failure of the war on drugs. Politicians aren't necessarily more lax about drugs, but there is a broad consensus now that the incarceration-heavy, zero-tolerance policies of the war on drugs were a failure. And one key voice here have been the libertarians.
Some of the first voices that we heard talk about the fact that we need to make changes to the criminal justice system, some of the first forays to reach out to folks on the other side of the aisle to talk about these issues came from the libertarian Rand Paul.
That's Nicole Austin Hillary.
for instance, just within the last 2 years, actually worked with the Brennan Center on the issue of vote restoration. He has a bill out right now that tries to deal with the issue of people that were formerly incarcerated having their right to vote restored. So I think some of the initial leadership, some of the initial outreach that came from folks in the libertarian circles. And I think that opened the door and made it easier for individuals from some of the other parts of the conservative community to actually come forward and say, yes, we think we can have conversations. We think we can talk.
Conservative Republican Texas Senator John Cornyn is a former state Supreme Court judge, and it's safe to call him a law and order Republican. He agrees that lower crime rates, successful reforms in the states, and an overall sense of injustice in the system have all conspired to make this point a moment of opportunity for reform. Cornyn says that lawmakers in the fractious Senate are close to agreeing on the starting ingredients for broad reform.
I think here again we're going to have to show the majority leader that this is something that's not going to eat up a bunch of time and end up in failure, but it's likely to have a positive outcome. And I think given the strange, in many ways, coalition of forces coming together to support this reform bill, I think we can do that.
Not end up in failure, Cornyn says, and that's key. The players are positive here, but there are still plenty of pitfalls. Despite the good feelings, there is lots of disagreement still on what a reform bill should look like. One example, Booker and his allies want deep reforms to mandatory minimum sentences in federal courts. Cornyn, who has a lot of say, is skeptical, and he's not alone. This is a big sticking point in negotiations. But there are risks outside the Capitol, too. Those low violent crime rates we talked about, they are low overall. But over the last 6 months, major upswings in violent crime in dozens of cities across the country. If voters get nervous about crime, their politicians can get nervous about being seen as going soft on crime. And that could be a risk to the remarkable but delicate consensus around criminal justice reform. Nicole Austin Hillary.
I will say that I think if we can't get something done at a moment like this, with so many varied voices and groups around the table, I find it difficult to think of another moment where we could actually get something done. The stars are aligned right now. Everybody who has a care or a concern about this issue is around the table again.
Lawmakers in the Senate say they're hoping to debate their reform bill this fall.
And Todd Zwillick will be there on Capitol Hill to cover those debates. He's our Takeaway Washington correspondent.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.